It says, come celebrate with us naturalization oath ceremony for Lou Song. We know her as Lucy Smith. Yeah, go ahead. And she will become a citizen this Friday, July 31st, at the U.S. District Court on Western. It's 200 Northwest 4th Street, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. And it's on the third floor at 9:30. If you need the address or the times again, just see me after service. And congratulations, Lucy. And she's another training and just becoming an American. And so we appreciate you today. Yeah. If you've never been to a swear-in ceremony, when Lenny Allen and Mike Allen attended church, and she was from Holland, and she came here, it is an awesome and a powerful ceremony where people come and they pledge their allegiance to this country. And one of the most powerful and touching moments that I witnessed in that ceremony, her mom and dad had come from Holland, and they were sitting there, and all of a sudden they say in part of the ceremony, and do you promise to defend America, is what they're saying, and to bear arms against any other country that would bring itself against America? And I'm thinking, wow, what if that was your parents sitting there? And they're just hearing you swear in and saying, I will bear arms against anyone that comes against the United States of America. And I thought it was a very touching moment. And then we were all crying, and then Lenny's mother was one of the last ones out, and I was right behind her, and we were just sobbing, and it was a touching time. So it's the real deal, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. We that were born here and take for granted that, you know, we live in this freedom, and we live in the country that we were blessed with. And I know there's a lot of things that are wrong today, but you know what? There's a lot of things that are right. And we need to pray for our country and uphold our president and our leaders and get behind them and say, you know what, give them the wisdom they need, God. And so it's come enjoy the process if you can this Friday and be a blessing to her. You got your Bible and you ready to learn today? This is the last in the Walking with God series, and I hope you've enjoyed it. It's been a blessing to me. So let's go. This is my Bible. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be what it says I can be. I can have what it says I can have. I can give what it says I can give. I can learn what it says I can learn. I can go where it says I can go. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. In Acts, the 27th chapter, we're going to continue on with Paul. And we talked about Paul and his relationship. You know, he was struck with blindness for 3 days from God. He was persecuting the church, wasn't he? Is what he was doing. And how many knows when you begin to persecute the church, you better watch out because it does have a shepherd. Sometimes we forget the church has a shepherd. And so we take jabs from people and all. But, you know, when people jab at the church of the living God, what I do, I fear for them because I know that we have a shepherd and they will answer to the shepherd. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord someday. Doesn't matter who you've served here or what you've done, where you've served self or some other God or whomever it may be, the Bible says, and I believe it's true, that you know what? There's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. And so you can either accept Him here or you can note who He is on the other side, and the consequences is very severe if you wait to the other side. So I'm just encouraging you today, and Paul learned that the hard way. He was persecuting God's church. And he thought he was walking with God, and that's so key that sometimes we're walking in religion and we think we're walking with God and we're not. In fact, the Bible says in the last days, many will kill and say we're doing it in the name of God. And how many know that's going on today in all kinds of religious wars? And so the Bible is coming to pass. And then he says something, and this always has been a fear of mine for the church and for really for the lost, but it's for the church. He says, in the last days, the devil will have lying signs and wonders and will deceive the hearts of many. Then it says, the love of many will wax cold. And so you take those two elements and you think about the millions of people that will fall away by the wayside and miss Christ. And then here comes the Antichrist, and they come in with lying signs and wonders, doing a little bit of good so they can deceive and distort. There was a con artist this week on the news, and it said that I'll help you pay off your bills for a fraction of the cost. And you send them the first bill, and they send it back to you paid, and they supposedly got the receipts and paid it in half, and they pay one bill so they can have you send them a bigger check, and then they pocket that one and they're on about their business. See? How many knows that you and I can fall in the name of easy? If it looks easy, you know, somebody come up to you and say, "Hey, I got a deal for you today. I want to tell you something. I got an insight on the stock market. Give me $1,000 and I can turn it into $100,000. I mean, it's a little tempting, isn't it? It is if you're like me and you got a little drive and you really like to make money when you can. Now, if you don't have any drive, you might say, "I don't want any more money," you know. But it's tempting to people that's got a little drive and people that want things and have dreams. But if you don't know that person, how many is going to hand them $1,000? No. But what if it's somebody that's a reputable? What if like Billy Graham came up to you and says, "You know, man, I'll tell you, I got a deal here. I've been praying. You know, I've led this nation and I've watched and here, this is God's going to have a big increase in money in the last days. And so, Olin, if you'll just write me a $10,000 check, I'm going to take it, use it for the glory of God, and I'm going to give you $100,000 back in return. This is a good deal." How many would pray if Billy Graham made you that offer? I would at least pray. Now here's why I'm telling you this, because your walk with God is the only thing that's going to keep you from the tricks of the enemy. It's the only thing. You know, when we grow up in Christ, and I don't know how old you are, really your age doesn't matter, but if you've served God for 3 or 4 years, you should be pretty mature in God because you've been studying the Word, and your walk with God is a legitimate, it's an authentic relationship, and you know the Father's voice when you hear it. And the only way you're going to know that is if you stay in the Word of God and you know what God's Word says and what it does not say. And what He says is thou shalt, and when He says thou shalt not. And so I really encourage you, and if you're a dad or a young man, I'd really encourage you to get a hold of the Word of God. Spend time in this, because this is what will give you direction for the rest of your life. And Dad, we are responsible for leading our home in spiritual matters. Now, if you're a single lady or what have you, then you have to take that role as spiritual leader. And you need to know as well. But I'm just saying, as a spiritual role, that's an important, very vital, important part of your walk in God, is to lead your family spiritually. You can't let the pastor do it, or the youth pastor, or, you know, the good friend that knows, or mom or dad that knows the Bible better than you. That is a responsibility that every Christian has, is to get into this Word and learn that for yourself, and then be consistent in what you know. That's a walk with God. And there's nothing like it, is there? There's nothing like walking with God. This scripture is become so true to me and where I am in life right now. Contentment with godliness is great gain. I told Janet the other day, last evening we were driving over to dinner with the kids, and I said, that is such a powerful verse of scripture for me right now. I'm so content, I'm so blessed, and I'm so happy about where we are in Christ right now. It's just a good place to be. You know, and I hope you're there. And if you're not, that should be your goal, is to get there. That you're content in the godly part of your life that you feel like is right because you're listening and trying to serve God. And there will be transitioning times. How many knows that's one thing for sure in life? Things change. Look at your neighbor and say, things change, you know. Things change. Things change. You know, when you're a good part of your life, think, man, I wish I could stay this way forever. We got a new puppy this last fall, and his name is Max. And Max is a little cute puppy, and guess what he is now? A big, ugly dog. No, he's not ugly. We just have a blast with Max. But he changed. He changed from this little bouncy puppy, and now his neck's getting bigger. Everything changes, doesn't it? How many after you got married, you changed? After you got over 30, you changed. Well, you get over 30 and it's hard, isn't it? I mean, it's hard. You gotta walk and watch what you eat and all that stuff. But change. It's gonna happen. But here's what should be consistent all the way through, is your walk with God. If your walk with God is consistent because you got a good relationship, you're having a little devotion time with God every day. Take Him to work with you. I mean, it takes God to work with you every day. Just, you take Him to work. You talk to Him at work. You talk to Him about issues. You don't get upset about issues like you used to, because you're talking with God. And like Janice said, my part is okay, you know. I know we have this conflict out here, but my part is okay because I've got God and I'm talking to God. And so my part is okay. I think one of the greatest signs of maturity of a Christian is when you're in a heated debate with somebody else about some area, whether it's raising children, politics, religion, whatever it is, and you are calm because you know where you stand and you know what you believe and you die on that mountain and you give your life for it. But you know that the issue is not the important thing. You know the relationship is the important thing. The person you're talking to is the important thing. And so you're standing there and you're standing with calm assurance that you're going to show unconditional love to somebody that you're in staunch disagreement with. That's a walk with God. And it's hard to get there, isn't it? And here's how you can tell when people are so upset because somebody did something that they weren't supposed to do and I can't believe that they did that. And you know that, boy, they need some maturing. Huh? And I want to show you something from the Word of God that's really powerful today that will help you. In Acts 27, Paul is not in charge. How many knows, you don't have to be in charge to have the mind of God and be at peace with God. That's one of the hardest things for me to learn as a Christian. I don't have to be in charge. Here was a real relief for me. God has not obligated me to save anyone. That was a real relief to me in a revelation one day when I was walking and thinking, I'm supposed to save people. And so I would tell them, kind of like Jana, you know, you need to be like me because if you're like me, you're going to hell. You want to go to hell? Do you want to go to hell? You know, and I was just frantic trying to get people saved that I loved and lost. And it was just pushing them away because, you know, my interest was about what I wanted for you. And it changed when I thought, what does God want for you? What does God have for you? We have some friends that we've really rekindled a relationship with and used to go to church years ago. I disciple them. I mean, they are some of my young disciples, and it took me about a year to disciple this couple, but they're good friends, about the same place in life we are, and we've rekindled that relationship. They don't go to church anymore. But you know what? Their heart is good, and their place in life is good. But it really bothers me because they don't have a desire. You know, that's the fourth commandment is remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. You know? And so when we come here, and this is the example Jesus set for us, is to gather and congregate and proclaim the Word and give Him praise and glory. And so it's just a part, you know, to keep it holy and rest. And so, I love and appreciate them so much. And I told Janice, I said, I never thought we'd have this much fun with our old friends again and be such a blessing to each other. See? Now, are they where I'd like them to be? No, probably I'm not where they'd like me to be. But you know what? We've rekindled relationship, and relationship is more important than issues. When you're walking with God, just remember that. You have a lost loved one, they probably know they're lost. They probably know it. They probably have known enough about Jesus. Most people in this country know enough about Jesus that if you can receive Him or reject Him, and if you don't receive Him, most people know the consequences. Now, some churches are preaching that if you don't receive Jesus, that you just die and you never wake up. I wish that was sound doctrine. Don't you wish that was? But I don't think it is true doctrine. So walking with God is about your relationship with Him and relationship with others. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, strength, and soul. Love your neighbor as yourself. Everything hinges on those three things. And so that's what ministry is loving your neighbor as yourself. Let me ask you something. If you're lost, would you want somebody to come up and get in your face and say, you're going to hell if you don't look like me, you don't act like me, you talk to me, you come to church, you go, blah, 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 you're going to go. You wouldn't want that, would you? What would you want them to do? Just love you to Christ, wouldn't you? Just have unconditional love where you are right now and love you to Christ. So here we go. Paul is in prison. And how many knows it's tough going to prison? I've never been in prison. I did get arrested one time. I used to have a little acreage out here and I had an acreage and somebody's dogs came on my property and was trying to kill one of my calves. And I had some cattle and horses and things. And so I sent both dogs home to be with Jesus. How many get my drift? You know what I'm talking about? That's the nicest way I know to put it. Because they were trying to kill this baby calf. It was just born, and the afterbirth was out, and the calf was trying to walk. And I heard them, and when I came out of my house, I heard them. And so I ran out, and so anyway, I settled the issue. And so the police came out that night, and they arrested me. And they asked me, did you shoot these dogs? And I said, yeah, I sure did. And they said, well, that was your neighbor's dogs over here, and I don't know the neighbors. We had like 160 acres, and so they were just one of the places that was... But they just let them run loose, and they were trying to destroy my property. And I said, well, don't I have a right? And so They said, well, it's a felony in Norman City limits, which we were out in the country, but we lived in Norman City. It's a felony to shoot a dog. And I looked in the Bible and thought, where is that at? I couldn't find it in there. But anyway, they said, do you know, well, we'd like to go get the dog. And I said, well, it's been raining, it's muddy, and you cannot get down the back of my pasture with a patrol car. I said, I got a four-wheel drive truck. Hop in, and I'll take you down. We'll get the dog. And so we went down and got him and put him in the trunk of the police car. And when we got through, they said, we're going to have to arrest you. And I said, really? You're kidding. And they said, no. And so they arrested me, and I went to jail. And so on the way to jail, this is the kind of criminal I am. I said, the police officer said, am I allowed to talk to you? He said, why, sure. And I said, well, tell me about the youth in Norman. What's the biggest problem they had? And I started picking his brain. He said, that's weird, he said. But he let me pick his brain. And then when I got in there where they booked me, they took my fingerprints and they took me in. And one lady, I think I'm just so bust, she was wanting to see my body. I'm just being facetious. She said, take your shirt off. I said, why do I have to take my shirt off? If you've never been to jail, it's an experience. You ought to go sometime just to see what it's like. She said, take your shirt off. I said, what do you want me to take my shirt off? You want to see my body? And she said, just take your shirt off, sir. And I looked over at the guy and I said, do I take my shirt off? He said, well, unless you're cold. I said, I'm cold. They let me leave my shirt off. They take your picture and they... You know, and I did all of that, and then I had to bail out on Saturday night so I could come to preach on church on Sunday morning. That's a true story. And then I told our congregation when I got here, I said, I want you to know I went to jail last night and it wasn't my fault. It comes out in the paper. One of our members was a lawyer, and he said, Jack, I used to be a district attorney down at Norman. He said, you have a right, and he said, they never should have arrested you. Come to my office downtown Oklahoma City, and I'll call. He took care of that the next morning. But I had to go through that experience because of ignorance. But it helped me. It taught me this is a process, and it wasn't my fault. Paul is in prison because he's been preaching the gospel. In fact, he used to imprison people for what he was doing. Kind of ironic, isn't it, how God works? He said, when he saved Paul, he said, I'm going to show him what great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Before Paul has done any ministry on the other side, he's persecuting the church, and before he does any ministry, God's already ordained what's going to happen to Paul. He says suffering will be a great part of his ministry. And so this is a part of his suffering. He's been imprisoned, and it almost seems like if he hadn't been so adamant about where he was, he would have been released. But he was so afraid of the Jewish leadership and the religious leaders that he said, I appeal to Caesar and I want you to send me to Caesar. I want you to send me to Rome. So he says, if you hadn't made that appeal, we could have probably got you off. But since you've appealed, you're going. So this is where Paul is. He's in prison and he's not on. It's because of false accusations. And I wanted you to know that because can you imagine what your attitude would be if you're in prison for the gospel's sake? And how your attitude, you'd have to really fight to have a good attitude. How many says if somebody put me in prison over false accusations, number one, I'd have trouble having a good attitude about the prison, and I'd really have struggles with the people that put me there. You got to get over that. See, that's walking with God. And so Paul's past that, and he has sensed that the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit wants him to go. And this is where we pick up. He's made his plea before King Agrippa and Bernice and Festus, all the officials in this area, in this region. And it says in verse 27, and when it was decided that we should sail to Italy, they delivered Paul and some other prisoners to one named Julius, a centurion of the Augustan regiment. He's part of the royal guard, if you will. So we're in the ship of whatever that name is. We put to sea, meaning to sail along the coast of Asia. Aristarchus, a Macedonian of Thessalonica, was with us. And the next day we landed in Sidon, and Julius treated Paul kindly. Now, let me remind you of the age. You ever seen any of the old Roman movies? Have you ever seen them treat any prisoner kindly? I mean, it's not like they don't have attorneys sitting there waiting, you know, and they don't have all the civil rights and all the things we have today. I can never remember in one old movie that I've ever seen any prisoner being treated with favor. Listen, Even when you feel imprisoned, if you have a walk with God, you can find favor. You need to know that, church, because there's so many battles that we face in our day. And you need to know that all the battles you and I face does not have anything to do with the blessings and favor of God. What has to do with the blessings and favor of God is your attitude. How many knows you have control over your attitude? But we grow up with lies. They make me so mad. No, they don't. See, that's a lie from the pits of hell. They don't make you so mad. Now, they may hurt you. That what they do may hurt, but it's not them, it's you. Most of us, we don't need to be delivered from a trial. Most of us need to be delivered from me. Ooh, you're quiet now, aren't you? And my poor little pitiful thoughts, and my poor little pitiful feelings, and my poor little pitiful mind, and what I feel, and what I want, and what I wish they'd do, and what I wish they wouldn't do. Most of us need deliverance from ourselves. That's good preaching. You go ahead and preach. If you don't get one, amen, you just preach. Paul didn't need deliverance from himself. He died. Did you know he said, Jesus said, if you'll die, you can find life. That's what he's talking about. When somebody lies on you and sends you to prison and it's false accusations, he said, if you die to self, you can find life wherever you are. Remember Joseph, Jacob's youngest? He found life right in prison, didn't he? In fact, his brothers hated him so, and rightfully so. You know, if you're the baby of the family and God shows you how you're going to excel above your family, you might want to keep that to yourself for a while. I mean, they're not excited. You run in, Dad, I had a dream. You and Mom are going to bow down and serve me. And all you siblings, you're going to serve me too. Isn't that cool? Guess who's going to be excited? You. Guess who you're going to tick off? Everybody in the house. So, you know, Joseph brought it on himself, really. He's all excited and he's sharing a dream. I think it's honest and it's real. But one thing Joseph did, when they put him in the pit, you know, his brothers put him in a pit and they was going to kill him but they sold him, because we wouldn't want to kill our brother. Let's sell him, you know, make a little profit. And so they sold him and he goes to Egypt and he's in Potiphar's house and he becomes a slave, and then on a lie and a false accusation, Potiphar's wife lusts after him and he winds up in prison. But all through all of that, Joseph never lost sight of his walk with God. And the Bible says whatever was done in the prison, Joseph was the doer of it. See, when you're walking with God, what we do, we say, well, if I don't have this, well, then I can't really walk. If I only had a house, if I only had a job, if I only had a better job, if I only had a better house, if I only had the better car, if I only had what they had, if I only married who she married, if I only married, you know, the if-onlys, and if I only had all that stuff, then I would be happy. Listen, if you can't be happy right where you are, it's your fault. I know that's hard, but I'm telling you, if you'll die to self and say, God, I want to enjoy today right where I am. Because what we do is we get the bad and we focus on that. We magnify it, we blow it up for what's wrong and what mess we're in and what things aren't right, and we just begin to blow it up. I had a conversation with Randy. He's not here today, but I had a really neat conversation with him one day. He was talking about, you know, walking with God and praying for others. He said, you know, Pastor, when I pray for others, he said, man, God just answers prayer. One of his friends he's prayed for, they thought he'd be paralyzed. He's got feeling now and he's walking, and he said, I want to come to your church, man. And he led him to Christ. And he said, when I pray for others, there's just such power, and people get saved and healed. But when I pray for me, I don't know why, I just can't get delivered. I said, I know why. He said, why? I said, because when you pray for others, you pray and you give it to God and you release it and you turn it loose and God works on it and they receive. I said, when you pray for you, you pray for it and you lay it on the altar and then you pick it up and look at it and dust it off and pat it and hug it and look at it and magnify it and look at it again and talk about it and you won't let go of it and lay it on the altar. He said, oh, I do, don't I? He said, how do you know? You must do that too, huh? I mean, knows we all do that too. We all do that too. See? And that's not walking with God. Walking with God is when you pray like you do for somebody else and they receive, you pray for the same way for yourself. You lay it down on the altar. That's what Paul had come to realize. You know what? I'm a prisoner, but I'm not a prisoner. We used to do a prison ministry down at Joseph Harp Prison, and some of those guys in there is a lot more free on people than on the outside. They were excited. They were winning souls. They had a daily devotion and had little Christian bands going inside and doing their music and just working for God inside the prison, incarcerated, but they're free. And that's the way you can be. But you have to be the one. It has to be your personal relationship with your living God. That's the only thing that can get you there. Church can't get you there. This is a good part to come and be encouraged and recharged, but church won't get you there. Just your personal relationship with a living God is the only thing that can put a smile on your face and peace in your heart and happiness and fulfillment. So work on that and everything else will come to, will be blessed and favor. You'll still go through trials. You'll still be maybe on the ship headed somewhere you don't really want to go. But you know what? You can be happy and you can receive favor. So Paul has received favor. He said he gave him liberty to go to his friends and receive care. Now, let me remind you that back then, if Paul had not come back, guess what Julius would have had? His head removed. I mean, it's no light thing when you let a prisoner out of your care and they don't come back. That's why everybody hated the guard, Peter, when he was giving his life for Jesus. You know, they'd put him in prison and then God would come and wake him up. He'd walk through a wall and then they'd come and they'd look at the guards and say, "What happened to our prisoner?" "I don't know." So they'd put more. They put like 16 soldiers to guard Peter and the angel comes and they walk through the walls and they come and they say, Where's Peter?" "I don't know." So one of the most dreaded things you could do back then is, you got to guard one of those Jews. "I don't want it. Don't pick me. So here they are, and he's got favor. And I want to tell you something. You can have favor. Your mind may be in prison this morning, but you can have favor if you'll die to that thing and say, "God, I can't fix it. It's bigger than me. It's out of my hands." Maybe it's at work. Maybe some of you are having trouble at work because your boss is stupid. Anybody having trouble at work because your boss is stupid? Just remember this. If your boss is here and you raise your hand, you're stupid. I may can help you with a problem. Yeah. But, you know, all these settings that we have problems. But here's what Paul is going to teach us in this lesson is, you don't have to be the head to lead. You don't have to be the head to lead. But he's going to show us some great truths in here that we need to learn. It says, verse 4, "And when we put to sea from there, we sailed under the shelter of Cyprus because the winds were contrary. When we had sailed over the sea, which was off of Cilicia and Pamphylia, we came to Myra, a city of Lycia. Then the centurion, an Alexandrian ship sailing to Italy, and he put us on board." It says, "When we had sailed slowly many days and arrived with difficulty to send us, the wind was not permitting us to proceed. We sailed under the shelter of Crete off Salome. Passing it with difficulty, we came to a place called Fair Havens near the city of Lycia. Now watch this. Now when much time had been spent and sailing was now dangerous because the fast was already over, Paul advised them," and that's really key, that Paul didn't preach to them. Paul didn't say, "God said and God showed me, and you better line up with what God is telling me." Or, you know, it said, Paul advised them. And it says, "Saying, men, I perceive." You know, he's not in charge, but he is in charge. At this point, it doesn't look like he's in charge, but let me tell you something. He has the mind of God. He's the only one walking with God on that ship. You know what? You may be the only one walking with God in your place of employment. Whenever I started this church, pioneered this church about 22 years ago, I went out to Love Box. Worked out at Love Box and there was a few Christians, and it's amazing to me, they all sat at one table. It's the Christian table and then the other table, you know. Sort of thing. I mean, even at work, they segregate, you know. And so anyway, God laid it on my heart to tell one drunken forklift driver, "David, Jesus loves you," every day. And so every day I'd tell him, "David, Jesus loves you." Every day I'd tell him. He'd curse at me. I mean, just, "You effing, yeah, boys call me terrible things." But I was dead. I didn't care. "You're not talking to me. I'm just a delivery boy. Jesus said to tell you, he loves you every day." So I told him every day. every day. Because he is a forklift driver, and he would deliver paper to every machine. And so somewhere during the day, or in the break room. Someday I'd get him in the break room, and I'd look at him and say, David! Everybody would look, and I'd say, God loves you, man. And he'd just cuss and say, and then I'd tell him, I'd say, I think he's getting weak, don't you? I think he's breaking down. Because I was dead, see. His words didn't affect me. All I was concerned with was, what am I supposed to tell? I knew in my heart that God had told me to tell this man every day. Every day. See. So when you're dead, it doesn't matter if people curse you or not. You don't get upset with that because you know they're struggling. See, he's struggling with the conviction of the Holy Spirit because I said it in a good attitude. Not have fun with it, and I probably shouldn't have done that. But I, God knew how I was before he called me, right? If my mansion is small in heaven, I'll know why. It's all that kidding around. But anyway, finally one day he came to Christ. He came to Christ one day. He yielded and he came to Christ. Before he did, he told me one day, we was in the restroom, we was washing our hands, getting ready to go home. And he said, Pastor, I know I need to get right with God and someday I will. I said, David, that's wonderful. And so every day after I told him, from that day on, every day I'd say, David, Jesus loves you. He'd just go, that's all he'd do is raise it. You know, I surrender. You don't have to be in charge. It don't have to be a pleasant atmosphere around you to feel the peace and the favor of God. You just need to walk with God. You need to know that He's there with you. Paul had that assurance, and so he's telling them, knowing. And here's the hard part. Wouldn't it be hard if we were all on a bus and we knew it's headed off a cliff? And one of you knew had the map, and you looked on the map and you said, hey, we're going toward a cliff here. We need to turn around. But you're not the driver. You're not in authority. Wouldn't it be hard to stay seated on the bus? And if you say no, you need therapy. You don't need Jesus. You need therapy. Amen. Yeah. It'd be hard to sit there, but that's basically what he's doing. He knew the ship he was on was headed to disaster, but because he's not in charge, he can't do anything about it. Now, he could do what we would want to do, keep harping and griping and harping and griping and harping and griping and saying, I told you so, and you better listen, you better listen, you better. He could have done that. But that's not what God called him to do. Listen, there's a great lesson in here, Christians. If you want to be a light to somebody, let's just lay it out before them, whatever God puts on our heart. Lay that out there before them and don't get preachy with it. It don't have to be God said for me to tell you. Just say, you know, I feel in my heart, or I perceive, like Paul did, that this is something that maybe you need to consider. You know, lay it out there. And what that tells individuals, whether it's your boss or your professor or whomever it is, your spouse, that, you know what, we just need to consider this. This is what I'm feeling in my heart, in my prayer time, when I'm alone. You know, this is what I'm sensing. You know, say it in a modern way where people don't think you're kooky or mystical. And this is, and God will give you favor in the situations you're in. So there, he says, I perceive that this voyage will end with disaster and much loss, not only of the cargo and ship, but also our lives. Now, here's something interesting to mention, that whenever he's talking about the loss of lives, how many knows that didn't happen? In this particular voyage, it's not going to happen. And it's not going to happen because he gave them a warning. Stay on the ship, because if you bail ship right now, you will lose your life. And they all, by this time, they remembered what Paul said. You know what he did? He gained authority, didn't he? By just simply laying out a loving message from God before the people and saying, here's my thoughts, what I'm sensing. And we can win more people by just laying out a loving message. Word that says, you know what, here's something you need to consider. Just lay it out there and leave it alone. Now, I'm telling you, if your makeup's like mine, it's hard when you know and you're knower and you've heard from God. It's hard just lay it out there and leave it alone when you know a direction you need to be going. That's hard for some of us, and so some of us have a lot more trouble dying than others. If you're kind of a passive person or introvert, probably you can lay it out there and just take your hands off and let God do that, and you're happy with it. But for people like me that just, you know, I've seen it. I've seen the mountain. And I'm, you know, like Marley, I've been there, and we need to go. That's the way I am. You know, when I see it, just watch out. There's good and bad in that. Then all your grandkids, I see it, Papa. I see it. And just calm down. So you birth those things around your house, and you have to put up with them all your life. But I love the way he just laid it out there. I perceive that the sincerity's there, isn't it? If somebody says, Eric, I perceive this vacation you're taking, the plane's going to go down, brother. Just pray about it, okay? That's pretty serious, isn't it? Would you pray? Yeah. I would pray, you know. We're going to Guatemala, but, you know, I think we're going to be captured. This, I had a vision. We was all thrown in jail and killed for the glory of God. Would we pray, Haley? We would pray, wouldn't we? Would we consider not going? Oh, is this a sign, God? Should I not go? You know. And that's all he did. He said, I see that this ship and all the lives on this ship could end in death and destruction. And just laid it out there. It amazes me when I see that and see how serious it was, but how loving it was. And that's something we need to develop, I think, in the body of Christ. So we don't have a reputation that we're ruthless and haughty and proud, because that's what the church has in a lot of circles, is we're ruthless and haughty and proud because we think we're so much better than other people. So we need to learn that. Good book is Unchristian. Unchristian. It's a good book to read. It's a humbling book of what the real world thinks about us. For those that have an evangelistic ministry, a lot of them think that's one more notch on their gun. That's what the lost world thinks. If you're an evangelist and you're out doing street ministry, they think it's one more notch on your gun, isn't it, basically? Because you're going to get me saved and I'll never see you again. You really don't care about me. That's humbling, isn't it? That's humbling. Hi, Joe. Good to see you. Nevertheless, the centurion was more persuaded by the helmsman and the owner of the ship and by Paul, then by the things Paul had spoken. You know what? When you speak truth sometimes and the world don't want to hear it, they're going to be persuaded very easily about, well, that's not our culture anymore. You know, it's just not our culture anymore. We don't do things like that here in America anymore. Even though it's biblical and God's wanting to go this direction, and it's easy for people to be persuaded to do something else. And that's what happened here. And how frustrating would that be to know you've heard from God and you've got a word that would protect everybody and everybody's saying, well, you know, you're a preacher, you don't know, we know. We're fishermen, we're sailors, we're whatever. You know, in verse 12, and because the harbor was not suitable for winter, and it says the majority advised to set sail from there also. How many knows the majority doesn't win in the kingdom of God? When you hear from God, it's you and God. The majority doesn't count anymore. That's what I have to do. You may not have to do it, but I've heard from God in this matter. This is what I have to do. Just pray for me. Ask God's blessing on. This is the way I'm headed. Everybody else is headed over this way, though. Well, that's okay. I'm not. When we went to climb the rocks the other day, one or two looked up there and said, I'm not doing that. Because they didn't like heights. Now the rest of us, we just climbed up the wall. You know what's amazing to me? They took Adam and I back in a little room, give us about 15 minutes of instructions on how to hold people and let them down and up and lower and make them safe, and then turned us loose with all of our kids. Your kids' hands and life was in my hands for 15 minutes of training. Isn't that comforting? That's amazing to me. Yeah. It's a wonder justice is here today. So to set sail, the majority must be right. If the helmsman, if the owner, everybody's in agreement, but the preacher must be, we must be making the right decision, not always. Your walk with God is important because when you walk with God, you will hear from God and you will benefit from the blessings if you walk with God and go the way He told you to go. How many knows God told you, owe no man? How many, what do we do here in America? We owe. So off to work we go. But He's told us, oh no man, so all the debts you're in and struggles, just read the Bible and do what it says and you won't be in that. That was an extra. Verse 13, when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their desire, putting out to sea, they sailed close by Crete, but not long after. That's what happens, but not long after, when you hear from God and you don't do it. There will be a but not long after. That means ever had a but not long after. Yeah, I think this is a good deal, but not long after you thought this is not a good deal. You can have this car for 72 easy payments, but after the first 10 payments. You found out they're not easy payments at all. See? So you have to be careful. You have to say, this is what God wants for me. Huh? Not long after, a tempestuous wind arose and they called it Euroclodon. So when the ship was caught and they could not head in the wind, we let her drive. Now I've got to close, so we're going to skip some scriptures here. But look on down. They're in verse 20. They've just about lost everything. They've given up hopes. It says in verse 20, "Now when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and no small tempest beat upon us, all hope was lost that we would be saved, was finally given up. But after a long abstinence from food, then Paul, the man that said, we don't need to go on this journey, it's going to end with hurt. Then Paul, the guy that didn't preach to him, but he laid the truth out before them. Then Paul said in the midst of them, you should have listened to me and not have sailed from Crete and incurred this disaster and loss. I now urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship." How many thinks if you had heard a man that told you, you don't need to be on this ship, this bus, this job, this whatever, this place in your relationship, if somebody just laid that out before you, and all of a sudden you've just sailed into a mess. How many says, and that same person comes back to you and has another word, you might give them some attention. You might say, now what did you say? That's what Paul did. He didn't preach at them, but boy, he laid the truth out there before them, and now they're in the biggest mess. They're fearing for their lives. That's where I hope we can get to here in our walk with God, is where we just lay truth out there, and we don't beat people up with it anymore, and we don't harp on people anymore. We just lay it out there softly, and them knowing that we're laying it out there, and maybe even with tears, that we love you so much, and we have your best interest at heart, and just lay it out there before the people and leave it alone and let God work. And then when the disaster comes, to go back to them and say, you know what, I'm praying for you. And I'm praying for direction for you. And I hate to see you suffer and hurt and just laying that out there and letting them know that, man, God gave me a little direction for you, but that doesn't change how I feel about you. Doesn't change how... And maybe if you're in that ship, you're in the office, and you're butting heads with your boss, you know what? Quit that. Stop. Just lay down and submit. Paul submitted to the helmsman and to the owners and to everybody. Just laid the truth out there and submitted to them and got on the ship and just went right along with his favor. That's hard, isn't it? But that's what a mature Christian looks like, walking with God. And so the rest of the story goes, you know, they aid, and Paul says, you know what? God's going to get me to Caesar, and he's going to let all of you go with me. Now who's in charge? Now Paul's in charge, isn't he? But he's not in authority. The houndsman, the owner, they're still in authority. But what he teaches us, guys and girls, is this. You can rule from the center of the pack if you have the mind of God and a humble spirit to go with it. Now, if you start harping and griping, you're not. But if you just lay it out there like Paul did, and let the truth speak for itself. One of the most powerful statements I've heard in a long time, a preacher said, you know what? Preacher, just quit trying to convict people. Let the Word convict people. Speak the truth in love. Isn't that a powerful word? Speak the truth in love. Let the Word do the convicting. We want to be the convictor. Kind of like when I talked to you last. Now, that was pastoral when I said, you know, you need to get here on time. And I was really impressed with the amount of people that stuck with and that hit in your heart. Because that tells me you're listening to God and you want to be respectful, and you just probably hadn't thought of it that way. But, you know, it'd be like showing up. If you all fixed us lunch and we all come straggling in, well, 12:30, 1 o'clock, and it's getting cold, it'd be the same thing, because they up here, they're cooking up here. I can hear them cooking at 9 o'clock. See? And so I know you're listening to God and you're getting it because of just the response that you gave me this morning about being here at 10:30, because we start at 10:30. We don't start at 10:40, or we don't start at 10:50, or we start at 10:30. I was late one morning for prayer, and Jan got all over me. No, she didn't. She just said, well, where were you at this morning, Mr. On Time? Getting us here on time, because I talked to him about being on time. And I thought, that's a good sister. It'll hold you accountable, isn't it? See, that's the walking with God where we should. So let's take this and learn from this. Take that story and look at it and dissect it and look it over and see what Paul had to do just to lay that out there, and how he loved them and helped them through their troubling times after he had told them. Because sometimes after we tell people this is what's going to happen, they don't. We just blow them off. We write them off. But Paul was with them. He was on the journey with them, and he helped them through. That's what a walk looks like. A mature walk in God looks like. It's when you don't abandon your friends, you don't abandon plans just because it's rough, and you feel the peace and the favor of God right where you are. That can happen for us. That's what we desire. Let's pray. Father, thank you for showing us what a mature Christian looks like in walking with Christ. A man that had so many revelations and so much power channeled through him through Christ, But yet he submitted to those in charge and just laid the truth before them. Help us to do that with crisis situations, with the bus that we may be on that's heading the wrong direction, and we're not driving the bus, so we can't do anything about it, but we can give a loving word of encouragement or a caution. Whatever the Holy Spirit gives us, that we can lay that out there and begin to gain the reputation, the authentic respect that should go to Christians that are walking with God. That they'll know we're hearing from above, and it's not just our own preferences, it's not just our own choices, it's not what we want, but we're just listening to God and laying it out there, and you're showing people that what we're speaking is truth in love. So that we can build the kingdom and build people and build relationships and build unity and harmony. And we can be light and salt in a dark and dying world. That's our prayer today. We ask this to be a part of our life on an everyday basis. Grow us to that maturing walk in Jesus' name. And while Christians are praying, heads are bowed, if you're here today and you need Christ as your personal Savior, I'd like to lead you in just a little prayer. You can say it silently to the Lord. He'll hear you, but you need to make that right today. If you're here and you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, or if you've grown cold in your walk and you say, I just want to rekindle that fire today, I want you to pray this after me. But first, I want you just to identify. And while Christians praying, heads are bowed, I just want you to raise your hand and say, that's me today. This is my faith. As I raise my hand, it's a faith. Okay, thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Father, for those that lifted their hands today, I pray that they'll just pray this sincere prayer from their heart today. Pray this with me, if you that raise your hand. Dear Lord Jesus, I repent of my sins. I give you lordship of my life. Be my Lord and Savior. I die today to self. And Holy Spirit, I give you permission to bring life in me. Today, Lord, I forgive by faith everyone that's hurt me. Today, Lord, by faith, I release all my hurt and all my pain. Today, Lord, I'm a new creature in you. Today, Lord, I'll find life through Jesus Christ. Be my Lord and Savior forever and ever. Amen. Would you give the Lord a hand? Two people just